Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Listen.
Soundcheck. From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We've got pirate songs and an unexpected hit from the past, as well as live music from the band On and On. But first, I have a message for the internet. I give up. I just can't keep up anymore with all your crazy viral videos and internet memes, all those people doing that Gangnam Style horse dance, and your cats playing keyboards, and your honey badgers, and was that Jimmy Fallon imitating Neil Young doing the song Pants on the Ground? What was that? A meme of a meme? Now, the viral video of the month is apparently something called the Harlem Shake. Journalist Tamara Palmer, who has not been defeated by the internet yet, is going to bring me up to speed on it. She's author of Country Fried Soul, Adventures in Dirty South Hip Hop, and she's on the line from San Francisco. Hi, Tamara.
Thanks for having me, John.
So what is this Harlem Shake thing? It's another internet meme, right?
Correct. It's an internet meme, but it's also so much more. It means different things to different people. But the new Harlem Shake, as it were, is a viral video meme that's been propagating throughout the world since the beginning of February. And it's tied to a song that's about a year old called The Harlem Shake by a Brooklyn-based producer named Bauer. What's happened is another person in New York, a 19-year-old aspiring comedian named Filthy Frank, put up a video at the beginning of February on YouTube dancing to the Harlem Shake. It was a very silly, you know, carefree, silly dance. He and his friends were dressed up in bodysuits to look like Power Rangers. And they started off the video by dancing, you know, casually and calm. And as soon as the big beat of the song dropped in, everybody went crazy, dancing as silly, as hard as they could. So it was this video that sparked the imaginations, you know, across America and well beyond at this point. So if you go to YouTube and you search for the Harlem Shake, you'll see thousands and thousands of videos, people from all walks of life recreating the dance from that original video to the Harlem Shake song.
We have just a few of those Harlem Shake videos posted on our website at soundcheck.org. And it seems, Tamara, that many of them are people in offices. Is anybody getting any work done anymore?
I don't think any work actually has been done in any office since the Harlem Shake video came out. To be totally honest, you know, whether you're in a cubicle or whether you have fires to put out, you're going to be making a Harlem Shake video as part of your office duties these days. So
now, so it's become an internet meme where, you know, people have taken this idea of doing this goofy dance to this year-old song by Bauer called Harlem Shake, and some of the controversy, I guess, arises from the fact that there was an original dance called the Harlem Shake, right?
That's correct, and that's a dance that's, you know, been uptown for more than 30 years. I mean, the anecdotal evidence kind of points towards a man who started dancing at the Entertainers basketball classic games at Rucker Park, and he would do this sort of shaking dance. And his name is Al B, so people were calling it the Al B for a long time.
It's a kind of an upper body thing, right? It's like shaking your shoulders and upper arms and stuff.
Yeah, you keep your upper body quite rigid, and you sort of shake with your arms to your side. And the way Al B had explained it is that he said he took it from mummies in Egypt.
Of course.
And that they were shaking around, but they didn't have the use of any of their limbs. So,
was there a particular type of music or songs associated with the original Harlem Shake?
So, you know, if you go uptown and you ask about the Harlem Shake, you're gonna see this dance that we've just described, and you're gonna hear hip hop music. The Harlem Shake really had its big national moment around 2001, and that's when it appeared in a few different really notable hip hop videos by the artist G Dep. And the song was called "Let's Get It."
Make this money. Take this money. Ain't no way you can take this money. Ain't money. Shake it, honey. Take it, money. Now let's get it.
And there was also a record by Eve called "Who's That Girl?"
They want to know.
We're speaking with Tamara Palmer, the journalist and author of the book Country Fried Soul, Adventures in Dirty South Hip Hop, and hearing some of the music of the original dance called the Harlem Shake. But now there is, Tamara, this song by Bauer called Harlem Shake, and this completely different, equally eccentric, but in a very different way, this completely different dance that has gone viral. And it's kind of a weird situation with these internet memes. They sort of flare up, and then what happens? At some point, do they jump the shark and become something else?
Well, you know, this particular meme, you know, a lot of people considered it to have jumped the shark once Matt Lauer and Al Roker were doing the Harlem Shake on the Today Show.
We have seen just about enough of that. That is the world premiere of the Harlem Shake Today Show edition, recorded with obviously no concern for embarrassment a short time ago. And we're going to tell you more about that dance craze that is apparently sweeping the nation. At least that's what they tell us.
But we just put the brakes on it.
Exactly.
That clip in itself was being posted on YouTube under the title "The Last Harlem Shake."
So is this the life cycle of an internet meme then? Something happens in a video and suddenly it explodes on YouTube and many other people do videos, and then it gets to the Today Show, they do the video, and that kills the meme?
Well, there's a brand new meme that we're seeing over the last couple of days, which is the Harlem Reacts to the Harlem Shake, which is a brilliant film by Schlepp Films on YouTube, where someone's gone up to 125th Street and shown this new craze to a lot of people who haven't seen it before.
What are they doing?
I mean, interesting. I just really don't think it's closely related to the original Harlem Shake.
Yeah, I know the Harlem Shake, but that ain't the Harlem Shake.
No, that's not the Harlem Shake.
It looks way different.
Yeah, it doesn't look like the original Harlem Shake.
But it's not the Harlem Shake, like, at all.
That's not the shake, me? Oh, no good.
That's not it.
That video has gotten tens of thousands of views just in the last 48 hours or so. It's one big meme spawns little tiny side memes, kind of like aftershocks of an earthquake, I suppose.
And have you done either version of the Harlem Shake yourself?
Well, I personally refuse to be caught dead doing the new Harlem Shake. And I have been kind of trying to do the old Harlem Shake for, honestly, about 12 years now, and I haven't quite gotten it. It's deceptively simple. So, you know, out here in California, we're a little slower with our movement, so I'll leave it to the folks uptown.
All right. Tamara Palmer is journalist and author of the book Country Fried Soul, Adventures in Dirty South Hip Hop. You can read her piece, The Harlem Shakedown, written for The Root. It's on our page at soundcheck.org. Tamara, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks a lot.
And by the way, the song Harlem Shake, now the number one hit in the land this week, thanks to some changes in the way that Billboard now puts together its Hot 100, its famed singles chart. YouTube views are now part of the formula that helps determine the most popular songs in the country. You can read more about the changes on our website, soundcheck.org. Up next, inside a new compilation of pirate songs and sea shanties, plus the next installment in our series, That Was a Hit, and a soundcheck blind date with the band On and On. They'll play live. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The producer, Hal Wilner, has made records with Lou Reed and Marianne Faithfull, served as the music supervisor of Saturday Night Live, and presented tribute albums and tribute concerts filled with big names. And then there's his apparent fascination with pirates. Back in 2006, Hal Wilner produced Rogues Gallery, a star-studded compilation of pirate songs and sea shanties. Now he and the occasional pirate actor Johnny Depp have produced a sequel featuring musicians that might feel at home on a pirate ship. People like, say, Shane McGowan of the Pogues. In addition to Shane McGowan, Hal Wilner enlisted Iggy Pop, Tom Waits, Patti Smith, and some up-and-coming artists like The Americans, whom we'll hear performing on the Green Space stage in just a moment. The new double CD is called Son of Rogues Gallery, Pirate Ballads, Sea Songs, and Shanties. Hal Wilner joined me to talk about it on a special webcast on soundcheck.org, and I started out by pointing out that with wrangling all that talent from Courtney Love to Keith Richards, it must have been a logistical nightmare.
This one was. The first one wasn't. In fact, that's why the second one was made. The first one went so fast that the first three artists that were committed to the first record, Shane McGowan, Tom Waits, and Keith Richards, were not on it. It's a schedule. So there we go.
All right, so with Shane McGowan and Tom Waits and Keith Richards as your kind of anchor tenants for this new musical mall that you've put together, you've come up with quite a collection. And as always with the various artist things that you've done over the years, the Disney songs, Thelonious Monk, Kurt Vile, you've given us some of the best-known names in the music world, but also people who are just coming into their own. I remember the Nino Rota album was the first mm-hmm. time I had heard Bill Frisell, the great guitarist.
As same with everyone else.
Yeah. So on this record, it's our first exposure to this band, The Americans.
Well, it's important to me to have the balance of unknowns and knowns. I mean, you often get the real gems of these records.
And there'll be the Coen brothers are going to be using these guys in their next film as well. So.
Well, they're on the soundtrack.
All right. Well, let's give the Americans a chance to play their song, their contribution, to the album called Son of Rogues Gallery, a collection of pirate ballads, sea songs, and shanties, produced by my guest Hal Wilner. Here's the Americans plus two, and we'll run down who's doing what in just a moment. But first, the song called Sweet and Low, live on Soundcheck from the Green Space.
Over rolling waters flow. little one sleeps, my pretty one sleeps. Sleep and rest, Father will come home to us soon. Rest on Mother's breast, Father will come home to me soon. Father, come home to his baby dead. When silver sails pull in from the west, under silver moon, sleep, my little one, sleep, my pretty one, sleep.
Live on Soundcheck in a special video webcast from the Green Space. That is the Americans with their song Sweet and Low, their contribution to the various artist collaboration known as Son of Rogues Gallery, produced by Hal Wilner. And Patrick Farris, you were telling me before we started the show today that the text for that is, that's Alfred Lord Tennyson, right?
Yes, it's a Lord Tennyson poem.
And your music?
Yes.
Great job. Patrick singing and playing the guitar, Jake Faulkner on bass, Zach Sokolow on banjo, Tim Carr behind the drum kit, and helping out the Americans today, Jack Byrne on acoustic guitar, and Ed Pastorini playing a creaky old pump organ, wheezing with great soul. It's a great sound for you guys. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Hal Wilner, so this is one of the songs on this 2-CD set. Called Son of Rogues Gallery. It is a collection, as it says in the subtitle, of pirate ballads, sea songs, and shanties. So how much research did you have to do into the history of pirate ballads and sea songs and stuff?
Well, a whole lot. Obviously, a lot of it happened during the making of Volume 1. It always appeals to me to take on a project of music I don't know much about.
Mm-hmm.
There's tons of books. What's amazing about it is in the real shanties, because this was a treasure trove of folk music that isn't really explored like one would think. So, I mean, a lot of these songs were made up and passed on from generation to generation before recording,
mm-hmm.
you know, real folk music. So a lot of these songs have virtually hundreds of verses because they were making them up. Especially the work songs and the ones that get more disgusting with each verse, which are more of those on Volume 1.
Yeah, although
Barnacle Bill the Sailor,
yeah. I don't know how that got missed on Volume 1, but it's here on Volume 2 on Son of Rogues Gallery. Volume 1 obviously is called simply Rogues Gallery.
Right.
The story is that it's Gore Verbinski, Johnny Depp, and they come to you with this idea of, or were you involved in the conception of this one?
Not at all. They had this idea, I guess, on movie sets. They sit around a lot. And Depp, I know, listens to a lot of punk music, or he did on this record in his trailer. That, I think, was the original idea, as this was the original punk music.
Well, the Shane McGowan leaving of Liverpool, that's Johnny Depp and Gore Verbinski doing the guitar solos.
Mm-hmm. Along with Nels Klein. That's quite a group.
That's, yeah.
Casey Waits on drums.
Nels Klein from Wilco. Well, and what we just heard, Ed Pastorini sitting in with the Americans, that was the first time, this was the first time that that has happened.
Yes.
In fact, what we're going to hear next is another example of musicians from the recording coming together for the first time as Ed switches from pump organ to our spiffy Fazioli piano here in the green space. And Shilpa Ray is going to do her version of Pirate Jenny. Now, who makes those decisions? Who pairs artists and songs?
There is no consistency. Usually you start out with some sort of a blueprint, like I'll go through it, edit down songs, and balance them out, and go from there. In most cases, I give an artist four or five songs to pick from. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they have specific ideas, and other times they'll come to us with a song.
Well, this one is a classic from the great team of Kurt Weill and Bertolt Brecht, with Shilpa Ray singing and playing the harmonium and a little bit of piano accompaniment, once again from Ed Pastorini. You're listening to a special live video webcast of Soundcheck from the Green Space.
Well, you people can watch while I'm scrubbing.
Due to rights issues, we are unable to podcast this performance from today's show, but the good news, you can stream the entire performance and interview at soundcheck.org.
And dawn, it is me.
That is a Kurt Weill, Bertolt Brecht song, one of the great revenge fantasies in the literature, called Pirate Jenny, sung live in the green space by Shilpa Ray, also playing the harmonium, Ed Pastorini on the piano, and that is Shilpa's contribution to the two-CD set just out called Son of Rogues Gallery, a second volume produced by Hal Wilner, of various artists reinterpreting old pirate ballads and sea songs and shanties. And Hal, there are a couple of, I mean, basically throughout your career doing these records of Disney songs, Nino Rota film scores, Monk, Mingus, Harold Arlen, basically they've been things that you've recorded with the musicians that you've chosen and the songs that they've been paired up with. But on this record, there are two things that were done separately from other sessions. One is a Frank Zappa, and the other is Marianne Faithfull with Kate and Anna McGarrigle.
Well, Frank Zappa wasn't available. But what happened, I was recording Macy Gray at Frank Zappa's house. She's friends with Gail Zappa.
Frank's widow. Yeah,
and it's amazing. It's left pretty much as it was. All Zappa's guitars are there. There's a amazing piano, but one's not allowed to use it unless it's Frank's music. Mm-hmm. And Gail really does keep a handle on it. And I was talking to her, and Frank really loves sea shanties. He used to perform Handsome Cabin Boy. Once him and Captain Beefheart recorded it, I went, what? And they couldn't find that, but she found this version of Handsome Cabin Boy. And I'm like, okay, how could one not use this?
Yeah.
And it fit in, so.
That, too, appears on the new 2-CD set called Son of Rogues Gallery, a collection of pirate ballads, sea songs, and shanties produced by Hal Wilner, who's been here with us in this special live video webcast from the green space on Soundcheck. And Hal, it's an amazing contribution to the literature of pirate songs. Thank you so much for bringing these musicians in today.
Oh, thank you for your interest. It was wonderful to come in with these artists.
This is Soundcheck. There's more of our visit from Hal Wilner and his musicians. You can check out audio and video of more music and conversation on soundcheck.org.
And now,
Soundcheck looks back at the pop charts of yesteryear and asks,
"That was a hit?
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
They're coming to take me away, haha."
Last week, we kicked off our occasional series, That Was a Hit? Tonight, Joe Levy of Billboard returns with yet another top 40 hit that enjoyed improbable success. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
What is today's improbable song of yesteryear?
I am going to bring to you right now the very worst rap hit of 1990. And you're going to stop me and say, I know this one. I've heard Vanilla Ice's Ice Ice Baby. And I'm going to tell you there was something worse on the charts in 1990. And that was Candyman's Knockin' Boots.
She blew me a kiss. I knew she wasn't new to this. I didn't want you, but the devil made me do it. To the tick-tock, you don't stop. We knock boots till 6 o'clock as we lay. All night long and early in the morning, she sang this song.
Ooh, boy, I love you so. Never, ever, ever gonna let you go. Once I get my hands on you. Ooh, boy, I love you so. Never, ever, ever gonna let you go. I hope you feel the same way too.
Girl, I do.
Knockin' Boots. That was a hit in 1990 for Candyman?
That was a hit in 1990, but wait. It gets worse. That wasn't just a hit for like a week. That spent almost a half a year on the charts. 23 weeks on the charts. It went top 10. It was a big hit. It was there for a long time. You listen to it now and you say, oh, Joe, come on, man. It's not that bad. It's some, you know, lame-ass booty rap, but it's not terrible. But here's the thing. This was the year, again, of Vanilla Ice's Ice Ice Baby. And compared to Candyman, Vanilla Ice can flow.
Yeah.
Compared to Candyman, Vanilla Ice is a lyrical genius. What sinks Candyman's Knockin' Boots is the rapping.
Yeah.
The rhymes are terrible.
The hook's okay.
The hook is okay, but the flow is awful. And this is a guy who, you know, he's telling us about his reputation as a panty dropper. He's the candy man. Ladies love his flavor. And here is the thing. He is using rhymes like, rest your breast on my chest. Yes, I'm impressed. No, Candyman. That is not going to get you what you want.
Eventually you ask to stay. You're gonna pay for this. Just rest your breasts on my chest. Yes, I'm impressed with the way you cold love me down. I don't want to sit down. I just want to get down. I'm on the ground down on my knees.
Now, where did this guy, I mean, he was all over the radio, as you say, for a good portion of that year. Where did this guy come from?
He was apparently a Tone Loc discovery. If you listen to the very start of this song, you're going to hear, hey, you're going to think, this is not going to be so bad. Why? Because it's Tone Loc talking. Candyman hasn't gotten to us yet.
Right. But Tone Loc, just to remind folks, is the guy who did Wild Thing and had a whole bunch of other hits as the 80s became the 90s.
Tone Loc was on the Delicious Vinyl label out of Los Angeles. He had this wonderful raspy delivery. He had that one big hit, a couple of others, but there's nothing wrong with Tone Loc songs. You listen to them and you understand why they're hits. In point of fact, if you listen to the start of this song, you might say, yeah, I wouldn't mind maybe listening to 2-3 more minutes of this. Unfortunately, it becomes a Candyman song.
Attention, all ladies. The Candyman is on the prowl. And for those that want to get busy, you got to speak up now.
This rhyme, this time, is one of a kind. Blowing your mind like only the Candyman can. Like a heavyweight champion, knocking them out, another bout without a doubt. Once again, you can scream and shout. When I rock the bells, yell out my name. This is what you've been missing. Listen to my heartbeat while I'm whispering. I know you're suffering.
That is how it begins. Knockin' Boots, 1990 hit from Candyman. Whatever became of Candyman?
I believe if you go to Spotify, you will find several late-period Candyman records.
Which would be what, 91, 92?
No, more recent than that. But I will say this, I could not bring myself to investigate them more deeply. This is a song that I remember. I remember from the time, and I remember thinking, no, this is not good. I believe in pop. I believe in public taste. I believe in the charts. I'm always fascinated. Even if I don't like it, I think it's telling us something. It's telling us something about the relationship between the audience and the performer. And all I could think when I heard this was, we've reached a moment that we must escape from.
Well, Wikipedia has this to say about Candyman. Candyman's latest effort to revive his career. Get this, Joe, you're going to love it. Knockin' Boots 2001, A Sex Odyssey, was a critical and commercial failure. The lead track, a remake of Knockin' Boots, chronicles some of the pleasures found in a night out with the Candyman, including, quote, front row tickets to a bomb-ass play, a relaxing bath, dinner reservations, strawberries in the tub, whipped cream, champagne, and the music of R&B supergroup LSG, unquote.
That's right, and if you look on the bed, I picked you up a little something, something. I hope it compliments your elegance, and don't worry your pretty little head on how much I spent. Business is good. And
wow, that does actually sound like a pretty good evening, but not necessarily a particularly good song. A bomb-ass play. I like that they're going out to the theater. Because Candyman will spend some money on you. He's not going to just take you to a movie. He's going to take you to a play. That's like double digits right there.
Oh, my God.
He's spending some money.
Knockin' Boots 2001, A Sex Odyssey. That was not a hit. But Knockin' Boots, that was a hit. Oh, yeah. Joe Levy, once again, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.
This is Soundcheck.
Knockin' while I'm hip-hopping. Many people say my lyrics are shocking. Just because of the simple subject. Everyone should love this because everybody does it. Whether they admit it or if they deny it, you better keep quiet or else you might have to see a few skeletons. But girl, that's irrelevant. Break out the bottle of Osby Spumante. Pop off the top and rock with my posse. Fela Al, Big Dill, and T-Flop. We ask the questions, you give the reply. MC Chip.
Got an idea for our series, That Was a Hit? Leave it on our website, soundcheck.org. And stay with us. It's time for another radio blind date. You'll meet the band On and On, and they'll play live in just a moment.
It's Soundcheck's Blind Date. It's a blind date between you, the listener, and an artist you've probably never met. It's possible you could find true love. And now, back to our host, John Schaefer.
Well, thank you, weird announcer voice. Welcome to Soundcheck's Blind Date. Today, we're introducing you to a band called On and On. No, I'm not mispronouncing the word and. It's actually on, an, A-N, on. And we'll get a chance to speak with one of the members of the band in just a moment, but we're going to hear a live performance of a song that appears on their new album called Give In. Here is On and On with The Hunter.
I am the hunter, I know how to find you. I've taken your picture and I'm taking my time. So warn all your lovers of powers that bind you, to show them the meaning of what it is to live. And
all you can give. But don't be so worried, I'll lend you my secret. But you have to come with me for my secret to live.
That's a live performance in our soundcheck studio from the band On and On. Their new album's called Give In, and that song from it is called The Hunter. You heard Nate Eastland singing, playing guitar, a little bit of keyboards. Alyssa Ritchie singing, playing more keyboards. Ryan Estwing playing the bass and a bit of vocals. And Michael Gunvalson is behind the drum kit. Nate joining me here at the microphone.
Hello.
Glad to have you guys with us on Soundcheck on our blind date where we introduce our listeners to a new band. But in your case, new band with an asterisk because you're sort of built on the out of the ashes of an older band, right?
Yeah, it was an interesting thing. Creatively, it was a super exciting decision for us to make to start a new project because we were in another band, the three of us, that are, you know, the main three piece.
You, Alyssa, and Ryan. Yeah.
Yeah. We were in another band called Scattered Trees. And, you know, we were working really hard for a long time, like 8 years. And then we were all living in different cities. And so eventually it just kind of was impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And so a couple of the members left. You know, at one point it was a six piece. So we were three members down out of six people. And we were just like, you know what? Let's start something new. Because I think sonically and creatively, the three of us in particular really were trying to push the old band in a direction that maybe it just didn't have the guts to go or something like that. And I mean, that's all of us together. We just kind of had habits that were holding us back from doing things that we were really, really excited about. So when we got to have it be something fresh, that was really invigorating to
a new
to
start.
Explore. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was amazing.
So in filling out our Soundcheck Blind Date questionnaire, which listeners you can find on our website at soundcheck.org, we always start with this question. Describe your music in three words or less. And you wrote, deep sea diving.
Yeah.
Care to explain? Care to amplify on that answer now that you have the chance?
It's always funny to fill these things out. You know, you're
what
in
do you
the
mean
van.
Always. How many times have you done
this? Well, I've never actually done the blind date thing. These are actually really good questions. But, you know, you do an interview and it has to be online or something like that. And you fill it out as a, you know, you're typing it.
Uh-huh.
And you're in the van and you're doing it on your phone and you're like giving these questions your all and trying to make it as mysterious or cool as you can. But this is actually really vulnerable, this blind date. I actually feel blind date feelings right now to actually have to talk these out. So deep sea diving, there's just this sense of immersion, you know, in the music, or that's what we like about what we're making, that we feel that way.
Well, I mean, here in the studio with just, you know, the four of you, it's a really immersive experience. I mean, you know, all the effects and the layering and stuff.
Thank you.
I could certainly hear that. Let me just ask about the name, On, An, A-N, mm-hmm. On. Are you playing with the old English word anon? Or
no. No, you're going to think I'm lying, but I'm not. So I had this dream.
You're lying.
Okay. I won't tell you that. That's fine. No. Seriously, I had a dream, and I was... This is kind of funny. It ties back into the deep sea diving. I was underwater and drowning, and this gorgeous mermaid swims up to me, whispers this band name in my ear and does not help me. and I assume that I perish, but I woke and I just never forgot it. And
so you had this name.
Yep.
All right. So the band is On and On. The album's called Give In. It is out now. Back to the questionnaire real quick, and then I'll let you guys play another song. We asked, do you believe in love at first listen? Why or why not? You said, you know, absolutely, music can make you move, physical chemistry. And then you said, after that, you fall harder and harder, but it often starts with something instantaneous that sticks with you. Has that happened to you, where you've fallen in love, fallen hard for a record because of that one moment?
Yes, absolutely. A handful of times. I don't know if it's pretty obscure and not in a cool way, but like there's this band called The White Birch, and they have a record called Come Up for Air. And I heard that, and I don't even remember how I got a hold of this record. So thank you. If there's someone out there like, I gave you that record, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
No need to fall. No battles I won. The morning dew will sprawl to taste us all in the morning sun.
All right, so we'll have to look for The White Birch.
Yeah, check it out.
Norwegian band, I'm being told, from the folks in the booth.
Yes. Also, I'm Norwegian, so maybe it's just in my blood.
Okay.
I'm connected to the music. I don't know.
I did gather that from the very Nordic-sounding names in the band, Eastland and Estwing and Gunvalsson.
Yes. we're Vikings.
Shall we? And Cops, apparently. so is that what you want to play next, Cops?
Yeah, that'd be great. This one is a song that Ryan wrote, which is a really exciting part about On and On that we're looking forward to exploring more in the future, is like the collaborative aspect.
Mm-hmm.
This is one that Ryan sings.
Okay. The band is On and On. They're here for our Soundcheck Blind Date here in our New York studio. Their album's called Give In. It is out now. Here they are with a live performance of a song called Cops.
Thank you.
That is called Cops, live song from the band On and On from their first record, Give In, which is out now. They're playing here in the Soundcheck studio on our blind date. And let me come back, Nate, to a couple of the other questions here. Who was your first musical crush? You answered Mariah Carey.
Oh, hell yeah.
I loved her. The word crush snaps like a twig under my affection. That's pretty darn poetic for filling out a kind of a goofy questionnaire.
I probably spent 10 minutes on that sentence.
The Dream Lover video, it probably kickstarted puberty for me.
Absolutely.
Are you still a Mariah Carey fan?
You know, Mariah and I have grown apart. You know, I've changed, she's changed, but there is always going to be a very special place in my heart for her. We had some wonderful times together.
You always remember your first one.
Mm-hmm.
So when we came to the question, what is the last album you bought, we got a very different but equally unexpected answer. Goodyear Christmas Album, Great Songs of Christmas, Volume 8.
And it's amazing.
What is that?
Okay. So.
And did you already have the first 7 volumes? Is that why you had to get Volume 8?
No. I wish I did. They're amazing. Okay, guys? They're great.
Goodyear,
the tire company. Back in the day, every Christmas they would put out a Great Songs of Christmas album. And, you know, who sang on that? I mean, Dean Martin, like all these uh-huh. fantastic voices singing these classic Christmas songs. And I was just being honest, that is the last album that I bought was that. And that record spun all Christmas long for me.
Christmas of 1971?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
These wonderful things are the things we remember all through our lives. These wonderful things are the things we remember all through our lives.
Once again, all of the answers to our blind date questionnaire are on the webpage at soundcheck.org. The band is On and On, and it's been a lot of fun having you guys here, having you play for us.
Our
Thanks
pleasure,
so much.
John. Thank you.
It's lovely when the boys, they ride together with you. Giddy-up, giddy-up, giddy-up. Let's go. Let's look at the show.
Well, if you've enjoyed hearing On and On, there's more where that came from. Find an additional song on our website, soundcheck.org. Going to do it for the show today. Tomorrow, join us online at 2 p.m. to hear the band Parquet Courts recording a session for an upcoming broadcast of the show. That's Parquet Courts live 2 p.m. Eastern tomorrow on soundcheck.org. Soundcheck returns on Monday with an in-studio performance by Robin Hitchcock. He'll play songs from his upcoming album, Love from London. Our theme song was composed by the New York keyboardist Marco Benevento. It's called Eagle Rock, and it appears on his latest album, Tiger Face. You can find out more about Marco and his music by clicking the link about our theme song at soundcheck.org. Soundcheck is a production of WNYC and New York Public Radio. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our engineering team includes Paul Schneider, George Wellington, and Rick Kwan. The show is produced by Greta Cohn and Katie Bishop. Our digital producer is Mike Katziff. Our executive producer is Joel Meyer. We had help from Alex Kappelman. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.